of Matthew chapter 2. If you need a Bible, you could raise your hand and we'll pass one to you. In that Bible, it's page 687, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, page 687 in the Bible that we hand out. And while you're looking for that, I'm going to go ahead and pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this day thousands of years ago in which you did the most magnificent thing in entering into this world. And you did it in such an unsuspecting way. You did it in a surprising way as this little baby, so vulnerable, so weak, so in need of nurture and care, merely even just for survival. And that was the maker, the God of the universe, in as a babe. Lord, it's hard for us to get our minds around that. And yet, as we do try to get our minds around it, as we ponder more and more, we realize that in some respects, that's how it had to happen. That was the best way. It was the most glorious way for you to accomplish what you wanted to accomplish in us and in this world, to bring redemption, to connect with us on our level, to experience all that we've experienced so that in this Christmas season, whether we're filled with joy or we're desperately lonely, we know that ultimately you have been there as well. You've experienced all of that. This was your plan, and we thank you for it. We thank you that at the end of this plan, as you lived and walked on this earth and taught and performed miracles and then walked through this incredible tragedy of your death and the sacrifice that you made for our sin, that at the end of that, the exclamation point of the resurrection was put on top as a sign of hope for us. Not only did you enter in to be in our midst, but you overcame what had us dragged down and pinned down, our sin and the brokenness of this world. And we praise you for that this morning. We praise you for your goodness and your mercy. And we exchange gifts because it's a beautiful tradition, but deep at the center of it is a reflection of the gift that you've given to us in Jesus Christ. Help us this morning, Holy Spirit, would you be present in our midst to help us to connect in the deepest, most profound way to the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the love and the holiness and the righteousness and the wonder and the joy and the peace that is Jesus Christ. We thank you in his name. Amen. Matthew 2, starting in chapter 1, no doubt a passage you've heard many times at Christmas. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'O you, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring him word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, They offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This morning I want to reflect on how in that little baby, God has given a remarkable gift. And the people in that day didn't really know how remarkable it was. They had some sort of inkling. The wise men coming from afar to come and pay homage, to bring their gifts and to kneel down. Herod, he knows there's something up here. He's the king of the land. And there's the notion that there might be another king entering in. And he's a little bit afraid. And so he wants to make sure that his throne is not threatened. And so, as we'll see later on, he seeks to get rid of this potential king. They know something special is going on. They know something remarkable is happening. They don't know exactly what it is. But they know that it's remarkable. Came across this story by Nancy Gavin. It's actually quite old, maybe 30 years old or so. And it was a story that was written in a contest that people entered in to share unique Christmas traditions. What did people do at Christmas time? How did their families celebrate? And she entered in this contest with this story. It's called For the Man Who Hated Christmas. And I think this story helps us to understand something about gifts and about giving, in particular, the different kinds of gifts that can be given. I'll read it to you. It's just a small white envelope stuck among the branches of our Christmas tree. No name, no identification, no inscription. It has peeked through the branches of our tree for the past 10 years or so. It all began because my husband, Mike, hated Christmas. Oh, not the true meaning of Christmas, but the commercial aspects of it. Overspending, the frantic running around at the last minute, the gifts given in desperation. Knowing he felt this way, I decided one year to bypass the usual shirts, sweaters, ties. I reached for something special, just for Mike. Our son Kevin was wrestling at the junior level at the school he attended. Shortly before Christmas, there was a non-league match against a team sponsored by an inner-city church. These youngsters dressed in sneakers so ragged that shoestrings seemed to be the only thing holding them together, presented a sharp contrast to our boys in their spiffy blue and gold uniforms and sparkling new wrestling shoes. As the match began, I was alarmed to see that the other team was wrestling without headgear. It was a luxury the ragtag team obviously could not afford. We ended up walloping them. As each of their boys got up from the mat, he swaggered around in his tatters with false bravado, a kind of street pride that couldn't acknowledge defeat. Mike shook his head sadly. "I wish just one of them could have won," he said. "They have a lot of potential, but losing like this could take the heart right out of them." That's when the idea for his present came. That afternoon, I went to a local sporting goods store and bought an assortment of wrestling headgear and shoes and sent them anonymously to the inner city church. On Christmas Eve, I placed an envelope on the tree, the note inside telling Mike what I had done and that this was his gift from me. His smile was the brightest thing about Christmas. And each Christmas, I followed the tradition. One year, sending a group of mentally handicapped youngsters to a hockey game. Another year, giving a check to a pair of elderly brothers whose home had burned to the ground the week before Christmas. The envelope became the highlight of our Christmas. It was always the last thing opened on Christmas morning, and our children would stand with wide-eyed anticipation as their dad lifted the envelope from the tree to reveal its contents. As the children grew, the envelope never lost its allure. The story doesn't end there. We lost Mike due to cancer. When Christmas rolled around, I was so wrapped up in grief that I barely got the tree up. But on Christmas Eve, I placed an envelope on the tree, and in the morning, it was joined by three more. Each of our children had placed an envelope on the tree for their dad. The tradition has grown, and someday will expand even further with our grandchildren standing around the tree with wide-eyed anticipation, watching as their fathers take down the envelopes. Mike's spirit, like the Christmas spirit, will always be with us, she concludes. It's a beautiful story. It's a story about a father who likes to give not just any gift, but special gifts. To reach down to sort of the deepest need, to find out what that is, and then to give to that. And it's a kind of a double gift, which maybe is the best kind of a gift, because it's a gift that's given to the Father, which redounds to the blessing and the encouragement of others. It's a double gift. See that? It's a very important kind of a gift. On Facebook, somebody posted, you don't do that on Facebook, posted this week about the layaway angels thing. You've seen some of that where, I guess, various, it's sort of cropping up around the country where people will go into a Kmart and they'll look at somebody's layaway account and then they'll just pay it off for them. And then the store will call the people who maybe, you know, especially during this season or during this last couple of years have been in people, you know, going through the recession, they haven't been able to buy the gifts or whatever, and the store will call and say, hey, somebody came in and paid off your layaway account, and you can come in and collect all the gifts and, you know, give them to your children. And usually they're trying to find the ones with gifts for the kids, and it's kind of this interesting thing that's just been cropping up all over the U.S. in various places. And why do we like doing that kind of thing? Why does it reach down deep to us and sort of bring this special kind of a blessing? It's because we love to give, and it's a gift to be able to give. And that's kind of a double gift, right? And this morning when we were opening our gifts, we always have a Santa Claus. That's somebody that we choose to be the person to go and get the gifts under the tree. And so our youngest was Santa Claus this morning. And every gift that everybody got, the first gift they all got, was the one that he was giving to them, right? So we all opened gifts from him first, because just somewhere inside, he had really worked on these gifts and put lots of time into them. He's so excited to give them. So he gathered them all and brought them, and those are the first ones that we... There's something, like it's nice to receive a gift and to get a gift, but it is a gift to give a gift, and to give a gift that blesses others and brings blessing to them. That's a kind of a double gift, when we receive the gift and other people receive the gift as well. And why is that? Why does it work that way for us? Why do we find that joy and that connection with giving and with that being a gift to us, giving as a gift? Why is it? And the answer is because God made us this way. God invented the double gift. He invented the concept of giving to bless the giver and the one who receives. He loves to give. The Bible tells us that what he gave us on this morning that we celebrate each year, Christmas morning, what he gave us was a very, very special gift. And like those, that King Herod, and like those wise men and the shepherds, and we didn't read about the shepherds, but everybody else who came around Jesus in that morning, they kind of understood, but they hadn't really understood, and they were in the process of unwrapping this gift, and there was lots of unwrapping to occur, and the unwrapping of the gift of Jesus Christ continues to this day. And so I thought it would be good for us this morning to spend a moment and reflect exactly on what this gift is that we have been given in the person of Jesus Christ. And the New Testament tells us, the Bible, not even just in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, tells us who and what this gift is. This gift that we celebrate each Christmas morning is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Translation of Messiah is the Anointed One. He's the Lord, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the great God, the righteous judge, the Savior, the Redeemer, Emmanuel. means God with us. This gift that we open on Christmas morning is the new Adam, because the old one was broken. The Lamb of God, the King of the Jews, the Consolation of Israel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our Passover. This baby that we celebrate on Christmas morning is the Word, the bread of life, the light of the world, the bright morning star, the chief cornerstone, the good shepherd, the living stone, the true vine, the bridegroom, the word of life. This gift that we celebrate on Christmas morning is prophet, priest, and king. The King of Kings, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega, the Creator of all things, the image of God, the mighty God, the everlasting Savior, the Prince of Priests, I am. The heir of all things, the first fruits, the perfecter of our faith, the head of the church, the messenger of the covenant, master, faithful, and true. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus of Galilee. Jesus of Nazareth, Joseph's son, Jesus. If on this morning you have not received this gift, if the white envelope, as it were, sort of still hangs in the tree, and you've not pulled it down and opened it up, I want to just say something about how it is that we unwrap this gift. The Bible's very clear about how you unwrap the gift of Jesus Christ and take it into your life. The essential key is faith. We unwrap the gift through belief by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is all of those things that we mention. And in particular, he is Savior and Lord. Savior meaning simply that he's the one who was the only one capable of offering himself as a sacrifice for our sin on the cross, for atonement for our sins. And he did that. And Lord meaning that he is master, leader, the one who teaches me, who guides my entire life, who shows me how to live. And I'm going to allow him to be the Lord of my life. To unwrap the gift that is given on every Christmas morning and available every day of the year, to unwrap the gift of Jesus Christ is to step out in faith and to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And as you walk in that process, you begin to understand all the other names of Jesus Christ. And I didn't even include them all. There are many, many, many more. You understand as you go on, you begin to understand the names of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he brings in each aspect of his attributes to how we live and how we move in this world. And if in this morning that gift is still in the tree, then I want to encourage you and ask you to pray about and to think about making this the day, this Christmas, the day when you unwrap the gift by faith, placing your trust in Jesus Christ. Some of you say, and I've had many conversations with people like this, and some of you say, I'd like to believe, but I just don't. It's as if you're shaking the box, kind of trying to hear what's rattling around in there, but not able to unwrap it yet. And that's an okay place to be. In fact, that's a good place to be shaking the box, to be asking the question, who is this Jesus Christ? Is he Lord and Savior? What does that mean? Is he all of these other attributes? Who is this Jesus Christ? And if this morning you feel like you're shaking the box and you'd like to believe, but you haven't believed yet, I want to encourage you to keep shaking. Keep shaking. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep being in the presence of the community of faith. Keep seeking after this incredible gift that has been given to the world. And then for those of us who have received this gift, I want to encourage us this morning to remember that this is, in fact, a double gift. The great kind of gift. It's a gift like that white envelope in the tree. It blesses you as you bless others. Double gifts have a kind of a special glow, and that's why the children in that story were always eagerly anticipating the white envelope. What's it going to be this year? Who's going to be blessed this year? There's something about a double gift that's special. It's why the grandkids and the kids anticipate. And it's why the father's smile on that particular Christmas morning was the greatest gift to the mother. Because double gifts have a special glow. And if you have come to Jesus Christ, you are part of that double gift. God is blessing you that you might become more and more of a blessing to others. After he redeems you, after he transforms you, you become a blessing to those around you more and more. And so today, if you're eager to celebrate Christmas in the greatest, most glorious way, it means you being willing to become the gift in the lives of others, to be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to serve, to be willing to give of yourself with the power and the grace and the glory of Jesus Christ being poured into you to enable you to do just that. Now, at Christmas time, as we do every other Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And during the Lord's Supper, we remember generally the other side, other end of the life of Christ and the gift that was given. And this morning, we are going to do that. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had broken it, he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Something about a gift that keeps on giving, that you hold for a while, and as he grows older with you, it becomes more special and more precious and more glorious. And God's gift to us, Jesus Christ, is so much like that. This baby in the manger, so little known about him, would grow, become a man, would teach, would heal, would offer himself on that cross as atonement for our sin, would be raised from the dead, would be seated at the right hand of God the Father, would send his Holy Spirit to dwell in our midst, that as we go along with this great gift of Jesus Christ, he might become to us more and more and more precious by the day. As we come to this table, we celebrate the goodness of that gift this morning in its all of its fullness. We celebrate together in community, and we celebrate in communion with God our Father. Lord, would you be glorified in us this morning? For you have given a remarkable gift. And we sitting here, along with our brothers and sisters throughout the world, remember and acknowledge the greatness and the goodness and the glory of the gift that you have given. And yet at the same time, like those wise men, like the shepherds, we have yet to fully grasp the depths of the goodness that you bring in Jesus Christ. And we look forward to continuing to unwrap this gift day in and day out by your grace, by faith, through the strengthening and empowerment of your Holy Spirit in the midst of community, as you see fit to guide us and lead us. We pray all this in Christ's name.